always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
You say he lied to Congress and should be arrested? Isn't that going a little far?
Well, I don't know that I said he should be arrested, but I like the idea, Stuart. At the end of the day, if you lie to Congress, that's a felony. Everyone knows that Dr. Fauci was the lead instigator in the spacing distance. This is something that not only shut down tens of thousands of businesses in America and ran the debt up as a result of having to subsidize those businesses that were shut down and have to subsidize the unemployment rate, it destroyed public education.
5:06 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. And I tell you, Tim, I don't want to put Fauci in jail for the 6-foot distancing rule that had no scientific basis in it. I want to put him in jail for basically funding the Wuhan lab. That revelation came out in hearings and in FOIA requests that we heard that Dr. Fauci and his surrogates were trying to avoid that information getting out. So I don't want him arrested for 6-foot distancing band-aids. I want him arrested for basically bringing this virus upon the United States and the world, basically. 2-3 million people killed by this Wuhan virus. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. It is 5:07. We've got a lot going on in June. We talked to Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation earlier in the show, and we talked about our event that we're going to be having out at the Funny Bone in St. Charles on June 25th. And on June 27th, Tim and I will be out at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge for the first presidential debate. Tim and I, we're going to broadcast our show there live from 4 to 6. And then the party starts at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss the historic event. The debate starts at 8 p.m. And the sponsor of this great event, of course, is the Freedom Principle Missouri and the St. Louis Young Republicans. Joe, we've done 2-3 remotes out of Johnny's Hideout, and they've always been a blast and a good time. A political event like this, a presidential debate, is going to be absolutely crazy out in Johnny's on June 27th when we do our show out there for the debate.
Like you said, Freedom Principle, they're one of the sponsors of this great event, and we're going to have Byron Keelan, the guy behind the Freedom Principle. He's going to be on tomorrow. He's going to tell us more, and I just love being at Johnny's because we have to act all modest. They say, would you like something to eat? Like, well, I mean, yes. I'm always hungry when we get there. They take good care of us.
It's like, should I have crack fries on air? You know, you wonder, can you handle that spice? A lot of spice. And then see how I threw that what's the name of the show with spice?
Oh, I don't know.
I threw the movie. Joey, the movie we're talking about. Dune.
Ah, Dune, yes.
I threw a
Spice Lord,
I threw a Dune reference in there. So, yeah, June 27th, join us out at Johnny's Hideout. It's a blast. They've got the great deck there that when the sun comes down, you can see the beautiful sunset over the valley. We've got a huge guest coming up, and he's been on the show a couple of times, but we're glad to get him back. He is Chris Ruddy, founder and CEO of Newsmax. He's going to be joining us at 5:25. Got a lot to talk to him about. Newsmax sent out a press release a couple of days ago that they are dealing with the Smartmatic voting machines. They have filed a lawsuit against them. You know, Smartmatic has a lawsuit against them. So we're seeing lawfare between those two. So we'll talk to Chris Ruddy about that and other things. We know he has a personal relationship with the President of the United States, and we'll see what the President's mood is after the verdict last Thursday in the so-called Stormy Daniels hush money trial. And of course, at 5:07, we're going to have the speaker's stump speech. Tim, give us a little preview, or do you want to just get right into it?
We can get right into it whenever you guys are ready. We're going to talk about the fact that the states, being the laboratories of democracy, have proven that the laboratory of left-wing lunacy has destroyed the once mighty golden state of California.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
And Chris, when we have Chris Ruddy on in our next segment, one of the things we can talk about is the top headline at Newsmax.com right now. The appeals court has halted Trump's Georgia case while DA Fani Willis's role is being challenged. So yet another instance of the lawfare of the lunatic left backfiring. The other thing that has backfired have been pretty much all of their policies. And, you know, you only need to look at one state in the union to see what happens when left-wing liberalism, when progressive policies are put on steroids. And every time you challenge the left on the once mighty state, now the failed state of California, they often go quiet very quickly because there really is no defense to left-wing progressivism and what it's done in California, because Democrats have had the free run. They've had their free run of California for decades. It's hard to imagine and believe, and for the younger people in our audience, this fact is absolutely true. President Ronald Reagan was once the governor of the state of California. California did produce the Gipper. Now, that was back when California still was a state that believed that, you know, freedom and liberty were a thing in the pursuit of happiness. Well, I don't know. I'm sure books have been written about it. I'm sure there have been lots of treatises and essays to explain what happened, how it happened. I'm sure Hollywood was a big aspect of it. For whatever reason, it seems that unfortunately there's aspects of our arts and culture and entertainment industry that just can't help themselves. They let those creative juices start flowing, and before you know it, your state is heading southward. California has been run by Democrats from top to nearly bottom now, as I said, for generations. Yes, there are still some vestiges of President Ronald Reagan's mighty Republican machine that he had created in California. There are still several congressmen and women from California. Heck, the recently departed Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, a very successful California Republican. And because I think sometimes we forget, California is huge. So, you know, it is massive. There is room for Republicans still to roam. They're just becoming a bit of an endangered species. But as far as like controlling the levers of power of the state government itself, California is run entirely by Democrats, and not just run-of-the-mill Democrats, hardcore progressive left-wing liberal Democrats. And their policies, which they've been able to implement with hardly any pushback from Republicans, because Republicans have not been able to stop them. Republicans are in a super minority status in the once mighty golden state. All of the policies that left-wing liberals want to do for the entire country, they're using California as the laboratory. And that may be a little bit of what's keeping the rest of the country sane. Yes, we do have other grotesque science fiction horror experiments going on in states like New York and in Illinois and in New Jersey and Connecticut and some of the other deep blue states. But California is one that has been so liberal, so progressive, and so leftist for so long that many of us point to them and say, let's not do that. These policies aren't just the subject of term papers and evening debates on the talking head cable news shows. They have real-world consequences. And the latest real-world consequence is the fact that an entire chain that has been around in California for decades has closed nearly 50 locations in one fell swoop, citing the rising cost of doing business and then declaring bankruptcy. What am I talking about here? Well, I'm talking about a place that probably not many of us here in the heartland have heard of unless we've visited the Golden State, Rubio's Coastal Grill. Rubio's Coastal Grill, a very famous franchise chain, restaurant chain in California, is in the midst of closing 48 underperforming locations throughout California due to, and this is a direct quote, the rising cost of doing business in the state. It's following a trend of companies taking similar actions after feeling the stress of having to balance higher labor costs. About 13 of the closures were in the San Diego area, 24 were in the Los Angeles area, 11 in Northern California. Rubio's says it plans to continue to operate 86 other restaurants elsewhere in California, Arizona, and Nevada. The move to close locations in California while keeping spots open in nearby states is, quote, further evidence that fast casual restaurants like Rubio's are struggling in California's high-cost business environment, Cato Institute policy analyst Mark Jaffe told Fox Business. What are some of these policies? How about this? A $20 required mandated minimum wage for fast food workers has gone into effect. How about the fact that in addition to that, you have every tax known to man being implemented on all of these businesses. And look, the restaurant industry, their margins are tight enough. When you mandate things like a $20 minimum wage, when you tax them at higher and higher levels for their workers' comp insurance, for their unemployment comp insurance, when you require bushels of red tape and regulations, at some point, people throw up their hands and go, I don't care how much you want these stores to remain open. They physically can't in the free market. They will lose money. And no one wants to continue to lose money over and over again. Left-wing liberals don't seem to understand. Money does not grow on trees. You can mandate it all you want. You can't make it grow out of the ground. The unfortunate closing of the Rubio's Coastal Grill means that more than likely than not, hundreds if not thousands of workers are going to be now unemployed. They're not going to be making any dollars per hour. The unemployment level in California will grow, and the customers of Rubio's will have to choose to go elsewhere. California is what happens when you put left-wing liberal progressivism on steroids. It should be a lesson to all of us. Their policies on the left, especially when it comes to economics and basic common sense, don't work. Free market capitalism and conservatism do. And that's the speaker's stump speech for today.
You know, Tim, you talked about when California went blue. I can tell you exactly when that happened.
Yes, please.
It was 1994, and there was a Proposition 187. If you remember Governor Pete Wilson, the last Republican governor at that time, he supported this Prop 87, which was called the Save Our State Initiative. It denied all public services to illegal immigrants and forced all state employees to immediately report illegal immigrants to the Immigration Naturalization Service for deportation. Mm-hmm. That won on the ballot, but that turned a lot of Hispanics, they were already leaned blue, to turn against the Republican Party. You add all of the influx of the illegal and legal Hispanic immigrants into California, and that was what really turned the tide. Prop 187, that's what a lot of the experts say did it.
And you know, it's interesting. Sorry, I was drinking some. I was doing my Marco Rubio there. I was drinking some water. you know, California does have a ballot proposition system that's similar to Missouri's. However, the difference is as the legislature in California has gone further and further left, in recent years, that ballot proposition system has actually saved California from some of the worst ideas. California on the ballot has actually rejected some additional taxation and things like that. And so, you know, they would be doing even worse things, but for some of those proposals. And look, you know, these ideas that the left has of, well, we're just going to raise the minimum wage and then everybody will be wealthier. Well, if it's not based on anything, if it's not based on market principles, that doesn't work. And Chris, we're seeing it even here in Missouri. Drive up and down any of our interstate highways and stop at any McDonald's or other fast food chain, you're going to see less workers in the restaurant and behind the counter because they've been replaced with electronic kiosks.
And that's just going to continue.
Sorry about it, Tim.
And we've talked about how they are doing model stores out in California and other places where there's one or two employees and there's a robot that makes the freaking hot dogs, that makes the hamburgers, and there's basically just a person in there that that takes the orders. That is the future of the fast food industry, because liberals who, as you said, do not have a clue on economics, think that you can just raise the minimum wage to any level, and that companies can just automatically absorb those extra costs. We've learned on the West Coast, they're up in the Pacific Northwest, where they had minimum wage hikes to ridiculous levels. Their fast food industries and people suffered, and people were laid off.
Yeah, Chris, if these policies worked, why don't we just make the minimum wage $1,000 an hour and everybody can be multimillionaires, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. And look, people still have to eat, right? They still have to eat. They still look for affordable choices for them and their family. So what the market's going to do is do exactly what you just described. It's going to adjust. It's going to get rid of these ridiculous excessive labor costs, which is unfortunate because that means there's more unemployment, but it's going to meet the demand by putting in the machines. Mm-hmm. And the machines don't have to be paid a minimum wage. They don't have to be paid they don't come with all the regulations and red tape that unfortunately that human labor does. I would rather have more human beings employed and working, but if you're going to price the market out of that particular industry, then it simply can't function. And it's just like you want to make all these liberals go to Econ 101, you know, taught by Dr. Aaron Hedlund, and maybe they might get a clue.
Excellent. 5:21 coming up is Chris Ruddy, CEO and founder of Newsmax. And Tim, we got to talk about this on another show because I saw it mm-hmm. on a friend's Facebook page. It's regarding minimum wages and such. You remember the entrepreneur a few years ago who paid all of his employees a minimum of $70,000 a year, and people were talking about how his company was going to fold? Well, a friend had on her Facebook page how his company was actually thriving and doing well, and Biden had given him some type of award, was saying that you can do this. I want to look more into the details of this myself because mm-hmm. it goes against all the economic principles that you said. But we'll talk about that tomorrow or on some later shows because I've got to do some more research. As I said, coming up, Christopher Ruddy, founder and CEO of Newsmax. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Well, look, I think we both agree. People shouldn't have to go to jail for smoking weed.
Are you aware that there is a strain of cannabis named after you, Kamala Kush? Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously,
for real.
I did not know that.
You didn't know it? They didn't even send you any?
No.
Oh, that's outrageous. You'd think you would get...
I'm not ahead of that.
You think you would get something.
5:28 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And Tim, people wonder why 81-year-old Joe Biden, who can't probably remember his name, won't step aside. Is Kamala Harris's performance there a reason why they don't want her nowhere near the Oval Office?
The caboose is more of a train wreck than the engine, Chris. I think that's exactly right. I mean, you know, even Jimmy Kimmel. Look, if you think about it, Jimmy Kimmel doesn't even respect her. He asked her a bunch of really stupid mm-hmm. questions because apparently he doesn't think she can answer anything of any substance.
I almost expect her to say, yeah, Jimmy, I'm on it right now. Well, that's on the line with us. Very honored to have on again once on the show, Christopher Ruddy. He's the founder and CEO of Newsmax. Mr. Ruddy, welcome to the show.
Well, Chris, thanks for having me. Good to be on with you and Tim again.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I've got a lot of questions for you, but one question, my first question is, and I've never asked you about this, but what is the origins of Newsmax and what is your background and how did this great network really get started?
Well, we'll be here for an hour if I have to go back to the Grover Cleveland administration when I started. But I've been in journalism for about 30 years. I started at the New York Post. I was covering the Clinton White House back in the 90s, Whitewater. Remember those
mm-hmm.
days?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the lack of media balance. And there was a thing called the Drudge Report. He was coming out online. We really felt, you know what, we need to start having more balance in the media, more fairness, get the other side. Remember, Paul Harvey used to say, that was the other side of the story. And so we decided to start Newsmax in 1998. It became a leading digital media property. And then about 2014, we launched Newsmax TV. We're now the fourth largest cable news channel in the United States, right behind CNN in key ratings. So we're having a very powerful impact. And it's really thanks to people going either to their streaming to get Newsmax, or we're available on OTT streaming platforms like Roku and Samsung and all of that. We're also available on all the major cable channels now. You just have to look up your directory for Newsmax and find it.
Excellent. Chris, thanks once again for joining us. I noticed that the top headline at Newsmax, Newsmax.com, is the fact that the appeals court down in the southeast part of the U.S. has halted Trump's Georgia case while the district attorney, the embattled Fani Willis's role, is being challenged. Chris, give us a little update on that, and then your thoughts about the fact that most of the, look, they did get him in New York. Okay, big surprise there. But most of the other lawfare against Donald Trump around the country has been stymied, hasn't it?
Well, you know, these were cases that were rushed through when it was clear that he was ahead of Joe Biden in the polls and was going to be the Republican nominee. It's pretty clear there's a direct line in every case to the White House. Even in the Fannie Willis case, the prosecutor she appointed had a meeting in the White House counsel's office. What's that about if this is a local Georgia case? One of the leading prosecutors of the Department of Justice quit to run the case in New York. So you see this connection between the Bidens and these cases, and we've never had a case, let alone one case, where the Department of Justice or local prosecutors have tried to file suit against a former president of the United States. It's pretty clear it's political. And they're also rushing the cases. They're trying to move them through a lot quicker than they normally would because they have an election they want to interfere with. And so I think the public, if you look at the numbers, the polling numbers, Donald Trump is doing really well. I spoke to him the day after the verdict, and he was pretty emphatic that he thought the polls would go up. And I think the public's catching on to what this is. It's a political witch hunt using the legal system, a weaponized legal system. And I think Newsmax has been at the forefront of covering this, and we will continue to do it.
Speaking with Christopher Ruddy, he's the founder and CEO of Newsmax. Mr. Ruddy, you answered my question about have you spoken to the president. I know Donald Trump loves Newsmax. I know that that you are a friend of his. I want to ask another question. It's kind of on the radio side. It's not TV, but it affects us here on the radio station. As you know, George Soros has bought Odyssey radio station, which is the number two radio network in the nation. Our biggest competitor here in St. Louis, conservative station, is owned by Odyssey. What's your thoughts of George Soros buying the second largest radio network in the United States?
Well, I think it's concerning. I think what he's done is he bought the debt so that his organization could get control of the company because they were having debt and financial issues. But effectively, he gets control, and it's problematic. You know, he bought up a group of Spanish stations that Disney was selling, Univision and Disney, and he took control of the largest conservative Hispanic station, talk station, Radio Mambi in Miami, and of course moving that more liberal. And so he's going to get control of a lot of conservative talk stations and news stations. And I think it's problematic. It's a free country. He can go buy it. But, you know, the left is influencing us and getting control of media at every level. They own big tech. It went overwhelmingly for Biden. They hate Trump. They even hate him so much they removed him from platforms. We're seeing it. The left is backing these liberal media monitoring groups like NewsGuard that are basically locking out conservatives from getting any advertising fees. And so they don't want, they're trying to end conservative media. You've seen it in radio where they block a lot of national advertisers from coming on conservative talk radio. And so it's an effort at censorship and political interference. And Soros has said that he's out. He wants to, his son recently announced that his number one goal was to stop Donald Trump. And they have put their money where their mouth is, and they're trying to do it. It's our job to get the other side out.
Chris, I want to follow up on that point. I think if most Americans understood how vast and wealthy and deep the resources were on the left, they'd probably be terrified if they knew everything they're getting involved in. In addition to everything you just mentioned, newspapers, right? We know that there's a network. We have one here in Missouri. It's called, it's of course, almost jokingly called the Missouri Independent. It is a Soros-funded newspaper. It's part, I think, of this, this overall national network. There's 23 or 24 different publications. Most of them are based in state capitals. There's the subject you all just talked about with Chris on with the purchasing of the radio stations. They're very involved in the electoral world, right? With Arabella Advisors. I mean, Chris, speak to the fact of how the tentacles of the uber far left, many of whom aren't even citizens of this country, multi-billionaires, foreign money, and what it's trying to do to the institutions of the United States.
Well, I think you summed it up pretty well yourself right there. I mean, you have a number of people coming in, interfering and trying to influence the public views, and trying to, they don't like Donald Trump, and they're doing everything they can to stop him. We've never had anything like it in the history of the country. The media has been, in fact, the recent Gallup poll showed that public trust in the major media is in the lowest it has ever been in history. Mm. Mm. And when you watch the manipulation of the media constantly, the Wall Street Journal had an article out today, which Newsmax is covering and had up a lead of its website during the day, is that Joe Biden, White House aides are admitting that Joe Biden is slipping. He's not mentally able. And we have his own Department of Justice said he shouldn't be prosecuted, even though he supposedly committed crimes related to classified documents, much more serious allegations than involve Trump, because Biden, as a vice president, as a U.S. senator, had no right to declassify documents, where Donald Trump could say that he declassified the documents because he was president. And they said that he was not mentally able to be a prosecutor, stand for trial. And yet this man is running the United States. Well, right. The journalist goes and talks to a lot of aides at the White House, and they're basically very worried about his ability to govern.
We're speaking with Christopher Ruddy. He's the founder and CEO of Newsmax. You know, Chris, every Monday I come on the air here at the beginning of our show, and I tell our audience I watch the Sunday show, so you don't have to. And one thing that has really gotten my ire the last couple of months is the moderators on these shows, the hosts on these shows, since Donald Trump has been on the scene, now feel it is their job, their duty to fact check, mm-hmm. especially Republicans. Candidates and Republican politicians live in real time on the air, and they don't do it as much with Democrats, and it drives me absolutely insane. I want to get your thoughts on that new trend in journalism, and then when I want to ask you, when is Newsmax going to get their own Meet the Press This Week type of show to compete with these Sunday shows?
Well, we have a lot of Sunday news coverage right now if you tune in, and we have people like Mike Huckabee, who has a show on Sundays. Dick Morris, one of the great political strategists and advisor to President mm-hmm. Trump, and Sebastian Gorka has a show on Sunday. So we have a really good team, but one of these days we will continue to add to our programming. Our ratings are way up. We were the only cable news channel to see ratings increases, very significant. It was 80% daytime across every day part last year, and that has continued in the first quarter. Some of the data shows that we're within very close to overtaking CNN wow. in primetime hours. Mm. And we're not even in as many cable homes. We're in 20 million less cable homes than CNN. So it's a remarkable feat. And I think it's because a lot of people are going to Newsmax cable channel. We also have a new Plus streaming service. If you can't get it or you don't get it on your cable, you just go download our Newsmax app and sign up for NewsmaxPlus.com. If you go to NewsmaxPlus.com, you'll see the various ways you can just sign up and get Newsmax on your app.
Chris, I'm looking at Newsmax.com this evening, and one of the headline stories coming out of Newsmax TV refers to the one of the senators from Oklahoma, Senator Lankford. He made the statement on Newsmax TV today that the polls, the political polls, are driving Joe Biden's border action. I think a lot of Americans are seeing right through that. And you have some other coverage relating to some other issues, Chris, where I think all of this is poll driven. The situation in Israel, with between Israel and Hamas on the Gaza Strip. Joe Biden seems to he's trying to be on every side of that issue and doing it all extremely poorly. He's making political decisions when it now comes to border actions. He's made political decisions in the past that you all have covered regarding his decisions of student loan forgiveness. Chris, these are all really, really, really bad public policy decisions and seem to be entirely politically driven. Do you think Americans are seeing that these are all election year stunts and they're a really bad way to run the country?
Well, Donald Trump, you know, people I know people that don't like Donald Trump, and they don't jive with him for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And I always say, sure, look at the output of 4 years now. We have 4 years mm-hmm. of Donald Trump. Look at the output of almost 4 years of Joe Biden. Hands down on domestic economic policy, Trump wins across the board. Hands down on foreign policy and international crises, we had no foreign wars. And we've had a major war in the Middle East, the first one in 20 years. We've had a war breakout in Europe, the first one since World War II. We've had Iran on the edge of getting a nuclear warhead. They weren't even anywhere close under Trump. And then China is pushing and threatening war in Taiwan and other places in the South China Sea and the Philippines. And there are other hot spots around the world. These are just the major ones that are, and it's a serious problem. And I think it's a lack of leadership, and you're seeing it at every level. The border, I mean, he's allowed over 10 million people into the country. There's been estimates we're spending like $500 billion a year. They're giving these people hotel rooms and four-star hotels, credit cards, and free cell phones. It doesn't make any sense. And it's just, it's either a lack of leadership on one hand or an embrace of the woke left on the other. And we don't really know who's running the government. And I think that's why Trump's doing so well in the polls. Even people, I think we all know people that said they didn't like him, they weren't. Now they're voting for him. And even a lot of members of the data is amazing. It shows that 20% of blacks, a lot of younger blacks, Joe Biden made all these promises, never came through. And then you have a lot of members of the Jewish community. It's so significant that Trump is almost, he's only 6 points behind in New York State. I mean, he lost that state by 20 points to Joe Biden last time. So tremendous sea change going on in the country. I think it's going to continue, and it's we're seeing it in interest in talk radio, online, and on Newsmax.
Final question for you, Mr. Ruddy. We know how valuable your time is. We surely do appreciate it. There is going to be a presidential debate on June 27th. Is Newsmax competing for a future presidential debate?
Well, we're certainly open to hosting one, and we'll see what goes out. We're probably going to be more likely to do a town hall with President Trump. We're certainly going to ask Joe Biden if he's interested in doing a town hall, and you never know. We have certainly done some incredible events. This weekend, we're going to be covering President Trump's rally. Usually Fox News doesn't cover these rallies. They used to years ago. We do them. Tremendous opportunity to find out what President Trump is thinking. That's going to be this Sunday. He'll be out in Las Vegas, so we'll be covering that. Vegas time, 12. It'll be 2 o'clock Central time. We're also, by the way, conducting a poll right now if you think Trump should be jailed. In his sentencing that's taking place on July 11th, if you go to Newsmax.com, at the top of the page, we have a poll up. And we're asking Americans what they think, and if they support this idea that a sitting former U.S. president should be put in prison for a crime that nobody has ever been prosecuted for before. And so we'll be checking all the boxes and the coverage that we need to do, and we're urging people to keep checking in with us.
Mr. Ruddy, are you holding your breath on waiting for Joe Biden to do a town hall on Newsmax?
Well, if he does, we'll have to open a bottle of champagne, I guess.
Yes.
You know, we would treat him, if Joe Biden came on Newsmax, and I think the White House was happy with the fair coverage that we gave. You know, we're not out against anyone. Yeah. We believe in having both sides, have always done that. And we think it's very important. So we've had Democrats on, Bill Clinton, come on Newsmax a couple of times through the years. We hosted one of the Democratic debates with a Spanish organization in the 20 election. So Joe Biden was unable to make that, but four or five of the Democratic candidates, including Bernie Sanders and others, showed up for the debate.
And I've had the honor, of course, of appearing on Newsmax and your shows, and I know that your hosts are fair and balanced. I just think Joe Biden would be, I think, more afraid more than anything to come on Newsmax, because he would probably think he wouldn't be treated fairly, and I know it would be the exact opposite. Christopher Ruddy, we've been talking to. He is the founder and CEO of Newsmax. Mr. Ruddy, thank you so much for your time, and we hope to check back with you again during this election season.
Well, Chris and Tim, thank you for having me. Always great being with you guys and in St. Louis, and always great when you're on TV with us as well. So
thank you.
Looking forward to that. Soon.
Thank you.
Newsmax has a lot of fans in St. Louis, sir. I can tell you that. Thank you so much. 5:46 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. One more segment left. Tim, we'll probably try to lighten it up a little bit. One way you can always lighten up a segment is coming back with Senator John Kennedy. You know he always has a good quip. We'll hear that on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Do you think you have a mastery of all these details, the threshold numbers, the 14 days thereafter we will
It's sad. Or the highest and best use of the president's time at this point would be selling catheters on late night TV. I mean, it really is sad. And we all know someone who's reached that age. We wouldn't even think of giving him or her the toughest job in the world. If the president were my father, I'd take away his car keys.
5:52 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. So is the senator saying, Tim, that if you need a catheter, that automatically equates to diminishing brain capacity?
You know, I'm not sure I'd buy anything from Joe Biden, because I don't think he would know what he was selling you at this point in time, right? I mean, he's a disaster. I mean, let's just be honest. He's the useful puppet of the Uber left.
Yeah, he is in sad shape. I heard on the Colombo and Katie show today, they were talking about the Wall Street Journal article. 45, I think, Congress people, Democrat and Republican staff people, told the Wall Street Journal that the president of the United States was falling asleep in meetings. For a total of almost 5 minutes, he seemed to have completely zoned out. He was speaking in a whisper where people could barely hear him. Tim, I'll just ask this flat out. We've been speculating on this for 7 or 8 months now. Wall Street Journal leans right, of course. They're not Democrats. But is this article one more piece of ammunition to get Joe Biden to drop out of the race?
I think that if Democrats had their wish and their way, they would replace Joe Biden, but they can't, Chris. I mean, it's too late. It's now June. Their convention is in like a month. They would have to completely upend all their infrastructure. I know Gavin Newsom and Pritzker and the others are waiting in the wings, but they have one problem. Joe Biden won't leave. He's so freaking arrogant and stubborn. I think he's the biggest impediment right now. I mean, they can't force him to get out of the way, and he's obviously thinks he's just fine. So I think it's going to be Trump v. Biden part two.
And what a comparison here I have. Tim, you are the history buff here. Do you know which president Garfield was? Do you have any idea? Oh, yeah, here it is. He was our 20th. President,
I was going to guess 22, so I would have been close.
Very good, very good. It's here in my notes. Now, we're talking about Joe Biden, who can barely remember his name. He's whispering. He seems to have lost his mental capacity. This was our 20th president, Garfield. He spoke and taught both Latin and Greek. Wow. It was also said that he was ambidextrous. Now, check this out. He was able to write a sentence in Latin with one hand while simultaneously writing the same sentence in Greek with the other. Garfield also became the first president to campaign in two languages, English and German, after speaking to a crowd of Germans in their native tongue. Boy, the presidency has really been dumbed down here with Joe Biden, hasn't it?
I thought we were supposed to be a more advanced society now. It sounds like we've regressed.
Oh, my God. And here's a story. I'm surprised Joey didn't bring this story up about Morgan Spurlock. You remember Morgan Spurlock?
I do not.
He was the one, the filmmaker, who came out with a 2004 film called Super Size Me, where he tracked the physical and mental effects of eating nothing but McDonald's for 30 days. Surprise, surprise, Tim, he died at 53 of complications of cancer. At the end of the month, he was 25 pounds heavier, depressed, puffy face, and experiencing liver dysfunction. All of that was from eating nothing but McDonald's for 30 days and supersizing it. So, yeah, he has passed on to the big beyond there, Tim. Do you think the McDonald's had anything to do with it?
Well, they say he did have some liver issues as well. But I would say this, everything in moderation. No, you should not eat Big Macs from dusk to dawn and vice versa and nothing but, right? Everything in moderation and not too many calories.
And finally, Tim, there are prominent food brands that are toying with bizarre flavor combinations, according to the AP. Here's what they're coming up with. Sour Patch Kids Oreos.
Ugh.
Pink Lemonade Kit Kats.
Why?
Easter Brunch Flavored Jelly Beans.
Okay, that might be slightly okay.
Now, here's the nastiest of the nastiest right here. Gentleman named Ben Van Leeuwen, he's co-founder and CEO of Van Leeuwen Ice Cream. He is serving Hidden Valley Ranch ice cream. I mean, put on your salad or something.
The point of all that is what?
just to gross people out. I don't know. None of that. You know, maybe lemonade Kit Kats. Maybe. I don't know. Good show today. Tim will be in Indy tomorrow, so we'll be solo in the studio with Joey V. But as always, coming up from 68, Larry Connors, USA, he's going to talk about A.G. Garland insisting he did nothing to help convict Trump, and Biden's new border policy is more political pandering, and plus zombie cicadas carrying sexually transmitted diseases. Boy, you want to listen to Larry to tell you all about that. You've been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.